So 1 Corinthians 16 is the final chapter, and Paul is just giving his final words to the Corinthian church. And Karina, do you want to go ahead and read?
Sure.
So it's on page 813 if you want to join us in your blue Bibles.
Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then, when I arrive, I'll give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they'll accompany me. After I go through Macedonia, I'll come to you, for I will be going through Macedonia. Perhaps I will stay with you a while, or even spend the winter, so that you can help me on my journey, wherever I go. I do not want to see you now and make only a passing visit. I hope to spend some time with you, if the Lord permits. But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me.
If Timothy comes, see to it that he has nothing to fear while he is with you, for he is carrying on the work of the Lord, just as I am. No one then should refuse to accept him. Send him on his way in peace, so that he may return to me. I am expecting him along with the brothers. Now about your brother Apollos. I strongly urged him to go with you and with the other brothers. He was quite unwilling to go now, but he will go when he has had the opportunity. Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be men of courage, be strong, and do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. I urge you, brothers, to submit to such as these, and to everyone who joins in the work and labours at it. I was glad when Stephanas and his friends arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the provinces of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love to all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to jump right in tonight because we are running out of time, but time is not an issue.
No, it isn't.
So in verses 1 to 4, we're going to start tonight. I'm just going to split it up, thank you, in sections so it's easier for us to understand and get to grips with tonight. So verses 1 to 4, I've titled Compassion. So if you're taking notes tonight, it might be a good thing to write down that compassion. That actually, in the first few verses of this chapter, Paul, he addresses a question that the Corinthians has. He's asked them about a collection that they want to give to these believers in Jerusalem. And he actually says that, take this collection and I'll take it to them when I come. And actually, I believe Paul is talking about having a compassionate heart for those that love Jesus. That actually, all of us here, we love Jesus, and we know other people around the world love Jesus. And we should be ready to collect money for them and be compassionate towards them. Paul, he doesn't just address this in Corinthians. He actually talks about it in Galatians, which was another letter that he wrote. As he wrote there, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. That actually, I think everyone here has means to help each other, has means to help those Christians who are maybe persecuted or less fortunate than we are. That actually, we should all be ready to care for each other. As a church, we have this ability to care for and restore those churches that are struggling around the world. So let us be ready to have this compassionate heart as Paul commanded the Corinthians. And it's amazing because actually the church at Corinth, it would have mainly been Gentiles that had become Christians through Paul's missionary journey. And actually the church they were collecting for was in Jerusalem. And that church would have been Jewish converts mainly, because it was over there in Jerusalem. And actually in that day, that was a massive divide. That divide between Jew and Gentile was really, really hostile and really severe. That actually the Jews, they didn't really like the Gentiles, and the Gentiles didn't really like the Jews. But Paul, he talks about actually, let's help these Jews, even though there's this division, even though in society we're divided, actually let's break that wall in Christ through his love. That actually maybe this certain church doesn't have the same preferences as, the same style, all of the same beliefs, but actually all of us have this call to love God and to serve him, and we should be helping one another to do that. And actually, it was a hard job for Paul. It wasn't like just sending a check over or sending a direct debit, but he had to actually go to that church. Sometimes compassion is hard. It's not easy always to have a compassionate heart, but Paul, he says, actually, through that hardship, it's worth it. It's worth loving each other. It's worth caring for the Christians around this world. And actually, I think all of us, monetary or in other ways, can help other Christians. And this summer, as you may know, we took a group to Soul Survivor from our youth group, and we had the best time. And one morning, myself and Dylan, we went to this seminar by Open Doors, and they talked about the persecuted church, and they focused in on one girl in Nigeria called Leah. And she'd actually been taken in a group of girls by Boko Haram from her school, and they'd been captured and made to do awful things that no person should ever have to do against their will. And Boko Haram, after they'd used these girls, they started releasing them one at a time. But they kept Leah behind. They would not release her back to her family. And the reason was because she said she believed in Jesus and she would not denounce her faith. They kept her behind, and she's still in captivity with Boko Haram today because she said that she believed in Jesus Christ as her Lord and her Savior. And that day, Karina and I, we actually headed over to the Open Doors stand, and they said, would you like to sign a petition that we're sending to our government to get Leah released? And we said, yes, please. So we got to sign this piece of cloth, and they're actually going to sew them all together, send them to the United Nations and ask them to release Leah. That actually, as Christians here in this country, we have freedom. We have this freedom of speech that Leah, she doesn't have. She's spoken out, but she's been patronized and kept captive for that speech. And actually, as young girls in this country, we've been able to stand with her and say, we believe that you are worth fighting for. That as a sister in Christ, we believe that you should be set free. And I encourage us all today to have that compassion. What stirs compassion in your heart today? How are you going to help our brothers and sisters here in this country, here in this village, and around the world today? We've all been blessed with so much, and it's important to ask, Jesus, how can we use what you've blessed us with to have compassion on those around us? I would encourage all of us to do that today, to ask Jesus what we can do to have compassion. Moving on in verses 5 to 9, Paul, he starts talking about how he's traveling around, his travel plans that he has, going through Macedonia and other places. And I believe this part shows us Paul's commitment. So that's our second point tonight, that Paul, he was committed to preaching God's word and helping those churches in different regions. And actually, as Christians, we should all be committed to preaching God's word. It may not be going to a different country. It may be just at home to our family. It may be to our friends, at school, at work. Wherever we go in our daily lives, we should be committed to actually preaching God's word and telling people about his love. In verse 9, Paul goes on to make this point that actually he's in this place where he's opposed. He has this great time of opposition. And I would have thought that actually Paul would say, right, because I've got opposition right now, I'm just going to get right out. I'm going to come straight to you because nothing's working here. Everyone's opposed to me. But Paul, he says the total opposite thing. He says, in this opposition, I've found an opportunity. Paul, he realized that actually, even though people were opposing him, that meant they were listening, that they realized that what he was saying may have some truth, but they disagreed with it. But Paul didn't worry about that. He didn't worry about the disagreement. He just carried on telling them and planting these seeds, even when they opposed him. And it actually reminds me of my grandpa. My grandpa had this sticker on his car, and it said, Jesus is the answer. And we all thought it was quite funny, actually, being young. We thought he was a bit crazy having this sticker, like, He's being pretty bold, saying Jesus is the answer on his bumper. And one day he went and parked his car in the parking lot at the shop. And he went and got his shopping and he came out and he looked at his bumper and there was this massive scratch along where the sticker was. And someone had got their key and tried to get this sticker off. They'd used their key to kind of scrape off Jesus is the answer. And I would have been really annoyed. I just bought a new car today and I would have been so fuming if someone had scratched my bumper with their key. But my grandpa, he did the total opposite. He said to me, "Naomi, I'm joyful that that person scratched the sticker off my car." I thought, what is he on about? Why would you be joyful that someone scratched your car? But he said to me, "I know that someone read that sticker. I know that that person knows that Jesus is the answer." That they read it and they thought, "No, Jesus is not the answer. I'm opposing that." But actually, he saw that as an opportunity to plant that seed, that that person now knows that Jesus really is the answer. They may disagree with that now, but that's a seed planted for the future. Opposition is where opportunity comes. It's not easy to see. It can be really blindsiding. Opposition can make us just feel really annoyed, angry, all those negative emotions. But actually, let's flip that on its head. Let's turn opposition to an opportunity and be joyful in those times of opposition, ready to remain committed during that opposition. Opposition is not God holding us back. It's actually him making us stronger. He uses what the enemy meant for bad for our good. He uses the bad times and he's with us and he's for us. He's fighting with us. Who loves nature programs? I love David Attenborough, Blue Planet, Planet Earth. We watched them all. I thought they were so good. And one time I was watching this program and they had these baby turtles hatching. It was amazing, these baby turtles coming out the nest and making their way to the blue ocean. And there were people all stood around because baby turtles are quite cute. There are a lot of people going, "Oh, look at the turtles." And one woman said, "Look, they're having to struggle across the sand. Why don't we just pick up the turtles and take them straight to the water?" But there was a guide nearby who told everyone, "Step away from the turtles. Do not touch them. Do not help them." And do you know why? Because if you take that turtle and take it to the water, its lungs are underdeveloped. That actually, that crawl across the sand develops the lungs of the baby turtle. So once they get into the water, they can go right to the deep of the blue ocean. If we didn't allow their lungs to develop, they would actually die in the shallows. So actually, we'd be doing them a disservice if we pick them up. And in life, it can seem like you're on the sand. It can seem like we're in a time of opposition and hardship and struggle. But actually, God, he's building your lungs. He's building your stamina. He's using that opposition to bring the opportunity that when you reach that water, you will not falter and you will not drown, but you will make it to the deep. You will make it to the deepest part of the ocean. So today, when you face opposition, as all of us do at some point or another in different forms, let us stand firm, trusting God and remain committed to his word. Yeah. In verses 10 to 12, Paul goes on to actually correct some behavior at the church. So that's our next point, correction. He takes the time to guide the behavior of the people. As their leader, that is his job. He is one of their leaders, and he has this right and this authority from God to correct and guide the people that are under his care. And he wanted to make sure that they would treat Timothy with respect and kindly. Maybe he was referring to a prior incident at the church or at another church. We don't actually know. But we know that Paul was trying to help the people that were under his care. As believers, we should love our leaders. Paul, he was loved, and he was asking for the people to love Timothy as well. That actually, the congregation, we should be thankful for our leaders. We should make their work a joy. And there are so many great leaders in this church, not just the ones that stand on this stage, but there are leaders behind the scenes as well in pastoral care, counseling, administration, children's and youth works. All of this church has great leaders for marriage, singleness. We have these great role models in our church. And Paul, he writes in Hebrews 13:17, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. That actually, when we make our leaders' work a joy, they can give us 100%. They can serve us with their everything. It's so important that we love our leaders and we help them and we don't make their work a burden, but actually that we ask them to help us and guide us and we submit to their authority, that we actually listen to their correction because it's all out of love. In verses 13 to 14, Paul, he gives some guidelines of how we can keep firm in our faith. And he sent it to the Corinthians, but I believe it's still applicable to us today in our Christian faith. And at one point he talks about courage. So that's our next point tonight, courage. And first of all, he says, be on guard. And I believe that means we need to keep watching our life over what could trip us up, what could bring sin into our lives. And for many of us, that might be what we watch, what we listen to, what we read. All the media that we see is actually influencing us in a subconscious way, maybe, but actually just keeping watch and being aware of what's going into us, because what goes into us, it does come out of us as well. And it's really important just to keep watch of what's going on around us in our lives. And again, at Soul Survivor, we played this new game. It was called Foursquare. I know, it was really good. Thank you, Caleb. And basically, what happened was there was four squares on the ground, and you would let the ball bounce in your square and hit it to someone else, and that's how the game went. And when you got out, everyone would move around. So basically, you had to get to the top spot. I thought I was pretty good at this game. I realized halfway through the week that I was on four square, and that's where all the little children were, so maybe that's why I was good. But I thought I was really good. In my mind, I was a very good four square player. So it got kind of halfway through the week, and I thought, you know what? I've mastered four square. I'm going to go to the big league of nine square. Now, I get to nine square, and Caleb and my cousin James were already there. They were pros. And I realized very quickly that nine square is old teenage boys and men. And then me in the line. I realized very quickly that nine square was very serious, that people wanted to win. So I get on nine square. I finally make it through the line. I'm on my first square. Literally, a guy hits it to me. He did a little trick shot just to make it all fancy, and I was out straight away. So I thought, okay, that was take one. I'll get back in the line and go round again. So I get back on nine square. The same thing happened again. I kept trying, and I would just get out. By the end, I would just stand there and let the ball go past me because I was annoyed that I was bad at nine square. So I let my guard down. I stopped being aware of what was going on around me. And actually, that had an influence. That had an impact on my life. When we let our guard down, when we become complacent, things are more likely to trip us up and go wrong. And we'll lose nine square. So tonight, let us not become complacent, but let us be vigilant and on watch of what may knock us off course. Paul goes on to talk about standing firm, that actually we build our faith on a strong foundation. And tonight I want to tell you that foundation is Jesus. It's always going to be Jesus and always will be, because he never changes. You can build your life on the now. You can build it on the likes, the people around you, the friends, the grades, but actually eventually that is all going to fade away and it will just be Jesus left. So let us build our life on him. And I believe that actually standing firm means we're not half-hearted in our faith, but that we're 100% on fire, zealous for Jesus, that we wouldn't be lukewarm, but we would be burning hot for him. That actually we'd be strong in our belief and we would be strong in our trust in God, and that that would help us stand firm, that we'd read our Bible, meet with other believers and pray to build up our faith and our stamina. And he says about courage and strength as well. It's so easy these days to become timid in our faith. I know I've hidden my faith for a long time from people around me. We just kind of push it to one side and keep it hidden, and it just becomes something on the sideline that we don't need to mention. But Paul encourages us to have courage and strength when sharing our faith. In 2 Timothy 1:7, he says, the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Tonight, Jesus, he takes your timidity and brings courage to your life. That's the truth. The only way to break timidity is to speak the truth over it. So I speak the truth to all of you tonight, that courage is what God gives you, not timidity, but in him you would have courage and strength to share your faith. And tonight, for some people, timidity is a habit. That actually you know there's courage in Jesus, but timidity is your comfort zone. And tonight you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to step over that line and become courageous for Jesus. And it's not easy. It's not an easy step to take. But I encourage us all, when we get into that courageous place, it's a much more exciting life to live with Jesus. In verses 15 to 18, Paul talks about caring for one another. So that's our second to last point tonight. Caring for one another. That actually he talks about Stephanus and some other people who are very devoted to the church that care for their fellow believers. And he says they've spent their life in service to their local church and their local community. And I think it's important that all of us ask ourselves, how are we serving the Christians around us? How are we serving our brothers and sisters? How am I caring for those that I love, which is you guys at our church tonight? And actually, there are so many jobs behind the scenes at our church that go unrecognized, you know? But if people did not do those jobs, if those people did not care about us, then the church would fall apart. There's someone that empties the bins every week. There's someone that gardens and makes sure our car park looks nice. There's someone who cleans the doors, who cleans the windows. All these things are very small, but when they're not done, people notice. And actually, that caring, servant-heartedness is something that all of us should be seeing in our own lives. That actually, I know every single person here, we all care about our church family. So how are we going to show that in our actions? We all bring something different. We're not all going to do the same job. But actually, those different things are needed for the church to function. Paul talks about it in verse 17 when he talks about actually they brought something new to the church. They fulfilled a role that hadn't been fulfilled yet. Some of you tonight, there's a role that you need to fulfill. There's a role that hasn't been fulfilled yet, but God has placed that on your heart and you feel that you could do that tonight. So please pray into that and talk to someone about that. And when we all bring our own gifts to church and care for one another, we all become refreshed. If we rely on one person, that person gets burned out. If we just rely on those who are paid by the church, those people become burned out. But actually, if we all come and have a servant heart, we all get this time of serving and then a time of refreshing. And that's so much better for all of us. It's so beneficial for all of us to serve and then become refreshed. So tonight, let us be willing and ready to care for one another, to have a servant heart towards those we love. And just finally tonight, coming into land, in those last few verses of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul reiterates certainty and clarity that the gospel brings. In those final verses, he talks about the grace of God. And he says that actually, the grace of God is with us, that we can't trust in our own works. We can't trust in who we are to get to him. It doesn't work. It doesn't work when we believe that we are the most important, but actually we have to trust his grace in our life and live under his grace. We can't strive in our own strength because we can't do it on our own. We can only do it with Jesus. We can only live a life for him with his help. And then right at the end, Paul, he talks about love. He asserts his love for his fellow brothers and sisters. All of us, we love each other. And sometimes it can be hard, but actually there's a deep love between us all as brothers and sisters in Christ that Jesus put there between us. When we join Jesus and accept him, we join his family, and that's where love flourishes. It's a love that corrects, but it's also a love that encourages. So tonight, let us correct one another, but let us do it kindly, and let us do it in a biblical way, and then let us encourage one another, like we have for Dan, and like we do for so many other people. Let us encourage them when they go to a new place, encourage them in what they're doing now, like the band, people who have served tonight. It's so important that we encourage and love one another in everything that we do. And that's where Paul ends it, with love. So I'm just going to pray quickly and thank Jesus for all he does. So Jesus, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for everyone here. And I thank you that we love each other and we love you. I just pray that all of us would show our love to one another. We would be willing to serve. We would be willing to help one another. And I pray that we would love you, that we would share our faith with the people around us, and we would just worship you with everything that we have. Amen.